One of the differences between the Lord's Church and many of the denominations centers on the Lord's Supper. We partake of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week, while most churches do not see any reason to do so. And when we're asked, why do we partake of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week, we always go to Acts chapter 20. And verse 7. Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. There were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together. So they came together and they were gathered together on the first day of the week to break bread. But what do we say if they say that's just a common meal? They were just coming together to eat. It's just like a potluck. They had a potluck, they came together to break bread, and while they were having their potluck, Paul preached to them. And you don't have any authority to take the Lord's Supper every first day of the week, because this isn't even talking about the Lord's Supper. Have you ever had that happen? And what would you do? I mean, how would you go from there? Are we certain that this is the Lord's Supper and not a common meal? We affirm this is our authority not only to partake of the Lord's Supper, but to worship and have communion every first day of the week. It all rests on this verse. Now, we all know that breaking bread in the New Testament has two meanings. Breaking bread has the meaning of eating food together, and breaking bread has the meaning of partaking of the Lord's Supper. And so this could be the Lord's Supper, or it could be a common meal. And only the context and only the content of the passage itself will help us to make that decision. And so, as we think about that, and I've wrestled with this a lot through the years, I've made this argument, and sometimes I think to myself, am I really being intellectually honest here? Do I really know 100% that this breaking bread is not a meal? This breaking bread is the Lord's Supper. And so we read through the context and we read through it, and of course, as the lesson proceeds, I'll kind of give you an idea of where I've come to the conclusion on this. Now, if we go to Acts chapter 20 and verse, and we look at the whole passage, and I had to make it kind of small. I'm not sure if you can read it there or not. If not, you can turn over to Acts 20 in your Bible. But I wanted you to see all the different components here. Now, first of all, in verse 7, it says, on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. Now, they came together to break bread on the first day of the week, but there's no statement that they did it. Then in verse 8, there were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together. And in a window sat a certain young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep. He was overcome by sleep, and as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. But Paul went down, fell on him, embraced him, saying, "Do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him." Now, when he had come up, had broken bread, and eaten, and talked a long while, even until the break of day, he departed. And they brought the young man alive, and they were not a little comforted. So, as we look through this passage of Scripture, what we finally draw the conclusion is that it's never stated that the disciples broke the bread. It is stated in verse 11 that Paul broke bread. It says he had come up and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till daybreak, he departed. But brethren, this was not the first day of the week anymore. What Paul did was no longer the first day of the week, because we see in the very first blue section that Paul was ready to depart the next day. We know he departed the next day. They came on the first day of the week, but he left on the second day of the week, or he left on the Monday. Now, Luke time stamps this by saying he continued his message until midnight. Now, we're all aware that the Jews counted time from sunset to sunset. But we're also aware that the Gentiles counted time from midnight to midnight. And we know what we count today. We go from midnight to midnight. And so when Luke says he continued his message until midnight, and then that's when Eutychus fell, and then Paul on that same day, which is no longer the first day of the week, broke bread, and ate, and talked a long while, even till daybreak. Then he departed. Well, when was he going to depart? Well, it says he was ready to depart the next day. So the events in verse 7 and the events in verse 11 are two separate days. So what Paul did when he ate, if you want to try to make the argument, well, Paul, when they came together to break bread, Paul ate. No, verse 11 is a different context than verse 7. So that brings again, that almost begs the question, but you can see that in verse 11, it's clearly breaking bread there is food. So the weight of the argument, if you were going to make an argument in this passage, is that the same breaking bread in verse 7 is the same breaking bread in verse 11. Now, that's not scriptural. That's not how we teach it. But again, the weight of the evidence as you look at this passage, I'd say that it's fairly even. But then we go to a couple of other passages. Actually, let me skip through that. I think we already talked about all that. This is the passage that is critical to any discussion we have on the term breaking bread and the disciples. So let's look at this verse. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to you as to wise men. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the Lord? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of the Lord? Of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. Now, no one could argue that this isn't the Lord's Supper. He's comparing it to idolatry. He says you need to flee from idolatry. He's already gone through the point that when the priests of the Old Testament eat the food of the altar, they are partaking with the altar. And now he's talking about our cup of blessing. The cup of blessing which we bless, we did it this morning. The cup of blessing which we bless is a communion in the blood of Christ. That cup is not a common meal. The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? So now we have an interesting dilemma. When it says break bread, is it talking about the Lord's Supper? Is it talking about eating food? Well, the answer, of course, is it's always talking about one or the other, depending on the context. Well, what's the context then? Well, let's keep reading in the book of Acts, in the 1 Corinthian letter. Now, in giving you these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. Now, the reason it's not to eat the Lord's Supper, they're coming together to eat the Lord's Supper, but they're not coming together to eat the Lord's Supper because, verse 18, there's divisions among you. And there's factions among you. And because of those divisions and those factions, when you come together in one place, you're not coming to eat the Lord's Supper. So when the church comes together, it is to take the Lord's Supper, but the Corinthians were not doing it properly, and that's why he says in that very first verse, I can't praise you. You're coming together not for the better, but for the worse. Why? Because when you come together in one place, you're not taking the Lord's Supper, which is the purpose for coming together in one place. Now, I could have wished, it'd been a lot clearer if Paul hadn't worded it this way. But what Paul is actually saying is that when the church comes together, now he doesn't give us a day, but he says, when the church comes together, verse 18, when you come together as a church, when the disciples came together, they were coming together as the church. When you come together in one place, it's supposed to be eat the Lord's Supper, but you're not doing it to eat the Lord's Supper. So they were coming together, just like the disciples in Acts 20. They were coming together to take the Lord's Supper. The people in Acts 20 were coming together to break bread. The Holy Spirit completely disconnected eating food together as a church and partaking of the Lord's Supper as a church. He makes it very clear here. He says, in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others. One is hungry and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. So the Holy Spirit is very clear in verse 22 that the breaking bread is not eating a common meal. The breaking bread is taking the Lord's Supper. You have houses to eat and break bread in, not the church. It wasn't to be a meal. Those who had turned it into a meal were condemned. Paul said, I can't praise you, and I'm going to tell you this. You need to eat at home. You do not eat when you come together as a church. Then he says the same thing at the end. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. Now, it sounds like what he's saying is when you come together to eat together. But he's not. Because he says, if you're hungry, eat at home. Well, if I'm not hungry and I come together to eat, what am I coming together to eat? Well, I'm not coming together to eat a meal. Then what am I coming together to eat? Well, Jesus made it clear what we're coming together to eat. But notice again the context, because this is very important to prove in Acts 20 and 7 that they didn't come together to eat a common meal. They came together to break bread for the purpose of the Lord's Supper. And once we prove that, then we have no problem with the rest of it. But this is a critical point, and it's something that if you're going to debate somebody, you've got to be able to do. Because if they say it's a common meal and you say, no, it's not a common meal, well, where do we go? Paul ate. In that same context, Paul broke bread and ate. So we're going to be at a disadvantage if we can't make this point and we can't make this application. So it's not an eating for a meal. It's not an eating for hunger. It's an eating to take the Lord's Supper. And then, of course, Paul made that very clear in the passage in between. So let's look at that. I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Now, this is the Lord's Supper that Paul was talking about when he said, when you come together as a church, you're not eating it as the Lord's Supper. Each one of you is eating it as a meal, and you have houses to eat in, and you should not come together for the purpose of eating. Verse 25, in the same manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you, and again, notice this, eat this bread. There is an eating. No question there's an eating. When we take a piece of bread, we eat it. Now, it's not a meal, though. It's taking the communion in remembrance of the Lord. It's breaking off a small piece. Yes, we chew it. Yes, we swallow it. Yes, we eat it. Even Jesus said in verse 24, take, eat, this is my body. So whenever the Lord's Supper is being partaken of, you have to use the same language as you do when you're talking about a common meal. And so it's not going to be as easy to discern which one that it is. But in this particular context, they were coming together as a church, coming together in one place, coming together to eat the Lord's Supper. They were to eat at home if they were hungry, and Paul makes it very clear that the Lord's Supper has nothing to do with eating a common meal, but it is breaking bread and eating. So it's the same language, but it doesn't mean the same thing. And we all understand that. Verse 26, when it says, as often as you eat this bread, he's not talking about a common meal. He's talking about the way we do it. He's talking about a loaf of bread that has been broken up into little pieces, either by an individual up here or by each individual out there. So this food, this bread is not food. This is the bread of communion. Jesus said, as surely I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day. So there's a specific day in which he's going to do that. Now, on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. Now, I don't know about you, but this is enough evidence for me. I have no doubt whatsoever, especially when we join in 1 Corinthians 16, while they're already gathered together to break bread, they also do their giving. And there's no way to disassociate the giving from the first day of the week. And there's no reason, since we know when the church comes together to do the giving, and it's on the first day of the week, and the church is gathered together, that's when they take the bread. And when they take the bread, it's not to eat, because they're supposed to eat at home. So eating as a congregation is always talking about the Lord's Supper, because you have to go home if you want to eat a meal. And that's the point that Paul makes. He makes it very clearly in the First Corinthians chapter 11. So what we see then is the disciples came together to take the Lord's Supper. Then the next day, Paul kept preaching until the next day. Kept preaching until midnight. Now it's the next day. Now it's not the first day of the week anymore. Then, sometime during that time, he breaks his bread and eats, and then as soon as the sun rises, he goes on his way. So there's no way it can be the next day by Jewish standards. It has to be the next day by Gentile standards, because if it's Jewish standards, then by sunset, it had become the second day of the week. So this is the first day of the week. Paul's working with them. They do break bread, which Luke doesn't even record, because he already knows that all Christians will understand this. And so he doesn't go into it anymore. So again, adding it all up, when you come together as a church, when you come together in one place, when you eat the Lord's Supper, I can only commend you if you eat at home for hunger and you come together to eat the Lord's Supper with the brethren without any thought whatsoever of a common meal or coming together to eat a common meal. So none of these can be a common meal. Now, here's the same question in Acts chapter 2. Same question. Those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Now, is this breaking bread the Lord's Supper? Or is this breaking bread? As a church, they came together, and as a church, they were eating together. They were eating together. Well, we run into the same problem. Now, verse 43. Fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. Then he continues. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Now it's obvious that there's a distinction here. They're in the temple daily, where they're continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, breaking of bread, prayers, and fellowship, and they are one accord, breaking bread from house to house, eating their food. So, once again, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, they take their bread, you eat at home if you're hungry. You have houses to eat in. Your houses to eat in, that's where you take care of your hunger. When you come together as a church, it's to eat the Lord's Supper. It is to eat the bread. And so the breaking bread in this passage continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. This is the local church. Notice in verse 41, 3,000 souls were added to them. And they... Well, who's the they? The 3,000 souls who were added to them. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Well, that means they were hearing God's word being proclaimed, preaching. And fellowship. Now, there's some interesting questions about this, but Paul makes it pretty clear in Philippians that the fellowship is the giving. He talks about those church had fellowship with me in the matter of giving or receiving, but you only. So fellowship often is used for giving. Breaking of bread, Lord's Supper, prayers is, of course, the praying together. And then, the next passage, totally different context. Continuing daily with one accord in the temple. And breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Now, we already know from Acts 20 and 7, and we already know from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, that when the church comes together to break bread, it's not a common meal. When the church comes together to break bread, it's to eat the Lord's Supper. When the church comes together to break bread, it is for the purpose of the communion that day, which Jesus said he would come and he would partake with us. It would be a communion with Christ. So verse 46 here is talking about the common meal, and that's done from house to house. It's done in the home, just like it's stated in the passage in 1 Corinthians. So there's a clear distinction between eating their bread from house to house and what was done in the temple. Now, this is the process, this is the reasoning that I've gone through, and now I feel very confident. I mean, when I first looked at this and I thought about it, for years I was preaching it, but I was only preaching it because that's what everybody else was doing. I wasn't really convicted. I really wasn't that convicted. I thought, well, it might be, but maybe it isn't. But after you look at 1 Corinthians 11, and after you look at what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10 about eating the bread and the bread being a communion in the body of Christ, that's not a common meal. And it's not a common meal when we come together as a church to eat the Lord's Supper. And so when the disciples came together on the first day of the week to break bread, their coming together as a church was for the purpose of the Lord's Supper, not for the purpose of a common meal. So they... Well, let's see. We'll go ahead. Okay, I think we... Okay, yeah. Let's talk just a second about this. We've already covered the verse, but look at the little... Was this house to house or temple? Is this the church or the home? Every reason to conclude that this is the assembly of Hebrews 10. They had to have that assembly. We know it started right away. The first day of the week was when the church was started. So it makes every sense that as soon as the church was established, as soon as they were baptized, that they would take the Lord's Supper. That would be the first thing they would do. And then they would do it on a weekly basis, as Jesus said, that day when I take it new with you. So there's every reason to conclude that that assembly is the assembly that is described here. Let us consider one another in order to stir up to love and good works. Now, if I were writing the Bible, you know, you always say that with a tongue in cheek, but if I were writing the Bible, I think if I were Luke, I would have been a little clearer there. But God chose foolish things for us to try to work through it. And we have to work through it, and this is all we have. Luke didn't say in chapter 2, and then they fulfilled the command in John chapter 4 to worship in spirit and truth by taking the communion and praying and giving and having the Lord's Supper and singing without a musical accompaniment. Wouldn't you love it if that were in there? Wouldn't that be great? It's all there, but you have to get it from Ephesians, and you have to get it from Colossians, and you have to get it from 1 Corinthians, and you have to pull a piece here and a piece here and a piece here. There's nowhere where it's all put together. But we know from this passage that from the moment Peter finished that sermon, the church began assembling together on the first day of the week to break bread, to give, to sing, to pray, And to do the serving of the Lord, to have the preaching. So not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Well, what assembly is this? Well, this is the first day of the week assembly. Well, when the disciples came together on the first day of the week, they broke bread. Well, what breaking bread was it? Well, it was the Lord's Supper. It wasn't a common meal. Couldn't have been a common meal, because they never came together for the purpose of a common meal. So the first day of the week when the disciples came together, when you come together as a church, I hear there are divisions among you, therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. Now, when we add all of this up, to me, there's no question whatsoever that the breaking of bread, when the church comes together, is always the Lord's Supper. It is never a common meal. Now, if we mix the two up, then it gets confusing. And that's where we want to take this lesson now. So there's no evidence in the scriptures that authorizes the church to come together to eat a common meal. Now, I've kind of come around this the back way. I know you already know what I've been preaching, but what I'm trying to establish is that brethren who are using the church building to eat a common meal have no authority to do it. And if they try to use the verses to use it, the more they use those verses, the less authority we have to conclude that's the Lord's Supper. In other words, you can't have it both ways. Either the breaking of bread in the New Testament when the churches come together is the Lord's Supper or it's not. Either the common meal is to be taken at home or it's to be taken when we come together as a church. You can't have it both ways. If it's a common meal in Acts 20 and 7, then we have no authority to have the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. If it's not a common meal, then we have no authority to come together as a church to eat a common meal. And that's really the point that I'm trying to make is that we don't have authority for a church to have a kitchen, to have food together, to have a dining room, or any of those things. If you mix those two together, you remove the ability to prove to the denominations that they're wrong because they don't take the communion every first day of the week. But we only have Acts 20 and 7. And if we're going to make that a common meal, if we're going to say that, yes, indeed, the church can come together for a common meal, where is the authority? Well, Acts 2. No, if it's Acts 2, if that's not the first day of the week assembly, then they're doing something that there's no authority. And you can't have it both ways. So there's only scripture for the church to come together to break bread of communion. There's no scripture for the church to come together to break bread and eat together. Now, Paul said, if you're hungry, eat at home. Paul said, don't you have houses to eat in? Luke said, they broke bread and ate from house to house. So it's not the assembly. The church is not assembled together for this activity. So every time the term breaking bread is used in a congregational setting, that's the Lord's Supper. And so for a church to say, well, we have authority to eat together because the disciples broke bread together. Well, wait a minute. You're switching things. You can't do that. If you do that, the next time you talk to a person in the denomination and they do it, what are you going to use to say, well, you can't do that? It has to be one or the other. The assembly of Acts 2, that should be 2, not 20. I'm sorry, yes, the assembly of Acts 20, the assembly of Acts 10, and the assembly of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I think I should have put in there the assembly of Acts 2, they're all the same assembly, not a different assembly. They're all the same assembly. It's the assembly that's been going on since Acts chapter 2 when the church was established and they started their worship services. And if you don't think the church in Jerusalem was doing exactly the same thing that we do on the first day of the week, then we need to have a talk. They were doing it from the moment the church was established. And Acts 20 is just kind of a, here's what we're doing. This is what we've always done. When Luke says that, he knows that everybody's going to know what they mean because they've always been doing it. The first day of the week assembly was to take the Lord's Supper. Did they eat together? No, they did not. Now, Paul ate. It does say that Paul ate a meal, but doesn't say they all ate together, does it? There's no authority in Acts 20 to prove that the disciples came together and they ate together. There's no authority in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. There's no authority in Acts chapter 2. And as far as I know, there isn't anything else in the New Testament except those passages of Scripture. So we have to make a decision. If we're going to be the church of Christ, and we're going to come together to break bread, we have to make a decision. Is that going to be the Lord's Supper? Or is it going to be a common meal? It can't be both. It has to be one or the other. It can't be both. You can't fit both of them with any kind of shoehorn that I know of. You can't fit both of them into Acts 20. It's either a common meal or it's not. You can't fit both of them into Acts chapter 2. It was a common meal at home, what they were doing in the temple. If they were breaking bread in the temple, it wasn't a common meal. It's not a common meal in 1 Corinthians 11. Paul says you eat at home. When you come together to take the Lord's Supper, to eat the bread of the Lord's Supper, that's a communion, the communion that I received the instructions from the Lord. And so I've looked at this and looked at this. Brethren, I want to get along. I don't like division. I hate division. You may know that about me. I'm a peace-loving man. I like to work with people. I like to get along with people. For years, I've tried to figure out, okay, how can we fix this? We actually had a meeting one time with the two churches in one city when I preached in Oroville. We had a meeting with the institutional church to see if we could come to common ground. We also incorporated a church that was in Gridley. We had them come over and work with us, but that didn't work either because of this issue. They wanted to do this. Where's the authority? Well, Acts 20 and 7. No, Acts 20 and 7 is not authority for eating. It's authority for the Lord's Supper. Well, Acts chapter 2 is not authority for eating together. It's for the Lord's Supper. Well, what about 1 Corinthians? No, that's not authority for eating together. That's authority for the Lord's Supper. Well, where's the authority for eating together? You see how quiet I am? There isn't any. It's not there. It's just not there. I wish it was, but it's not. We take communion in our assembly. We don't eat a common meal together. You can't mix them, brethren. I wish we could. I wish we could because I really like the concept, but there's no authority for it. There's no scripture that authorizes the church to come together or a while together to eat a common meal. Now, you might say, well, I think it's a good idea. Well, you can think it's a good idea. But it kind of comes back to what we were talking about last Sunday evening. There are individual responsibilities and congregational responsibilities. Now, if you want to come to my house, if everybody wants to come to my house and eat together, well, I have authority for that because that's what Paul said to do. If you're hungry, eat at home. The brethren ate from house to house. So we can eat from house to house. We can even go to a restaurant like we do and all eat together. There's authority for that. We're all spending our own money for it. There's no congregational attachment. We're not using the Lord's money. The church doesn't come together to eat a common meal. Now, having read all this, again, where's the authority to build a kitchen? We know where the authority for the church building comes from. The authority from the church building comes from Hebrews chapter 2, when we assemble together, when we come together. Well, what do we come together to do? Well, we come together on the first day of the week to break bread. Well, that's a common meal. No, it's not a common meal. It can't be a common meal. It's the Lord's Supper. So where do we find the authority in the church? We find the authority in the church in Hebrews chapter 10, to build a facility where we can have preaching. We have authority for the church to sing together and pray together. We have authority for the church to take the Lord's Supper together. We have authority for the church to have all of these activities in giving. And that's the authority for the pews, and that's the authority for the lights and the drinking fountain and the bathroom and all the various things. They're all based on our need to be here for the purpose of doing the five acts of worship. But there's no authority for that kitchen. Just not there. There's no authority for the brethren to build a place to eat together. It's a nice concept. And some brethren have said, well, we'll just add it on and use our own money. Well, you're still running into the same problem. There's no authority to do that. And it's just trying to get as close as we can to something we shouldn't want to be a part of. So, again, we've already proven that this is not a common meal, but the day for our communion. Now, again, I don't know how else to approach this. I've thought about it for years. Matter of fact, that's why I decided to do it this way, because I want us to all appreciate the stakes here. If we're going to turn this into a common meal, then we don't have any authority whatsoever to come together on the first day of the week to take the Lord's Supper. Well, if I have to choose between the two, I'm going to give up the meal. And I'm going to hold fast to the communion, the Lord's Supper, especially when we look at all the rest of the evidence. So that brings us back to the slide we've used for the last couple of weeks. And that is, we have to do the works that God afore prepared for us to walk in them. I know God afore prepared for us to take communion together. I know He wants us to break bread as a congregation in remembrance of the death of His Son and the sacrifice that His Son made. I know that that's a part of His good works. Well, where does it say anywhere in the New Testament that one of the other good works He has is that Christians should come together for a common meal together? It's just not there. It's not in the Scriptures. Now, we all know people who do it. We all know people who love it. We all know people who would argue that it's scriptural because that's how they've seen it. I mean, they came into the church. It's like a Seventh-day Adventist. He would argue that the seventh day is the right day because that's all he's ever seen. But we can take him over to the Scriptures and we can set him straight. Because even though somebody, and I've had this long conversation with a young man in Malawi a couple years ago. He was taking me from the airport to the house where I was going to stay in. And he told me, my parents were CCAP, which is the Central African Presbyterian Church. I said, yeah, but they teach, I've done this since I was a child, I'll do it until I die. Okay, what are you going to do with that? But the scriptures say what they're doing is wrong. Well, these people who have been eating in the church building since they were young children and are convinced that it's right, they still have the same responsibility we do to go to the scriptures to see where the authority is. And I'll tell you something, brethren, it's not there. It's just not there. The things God has prepared are in the scriptures. If they're not in the scriptures, you can't do them. Can't be a good work. All scripture is given by inspiration, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Well, I don't find eating together as a church. I don't find that. It's not a good work. We're not thoroughly furnished for it. We don't have any authority for it. It's a wonderful thing. We have people who do it. They enjoy it. But that's not scriptural authority. It's not scriptural authority to say, I like it. It's not scriptural authority to say, my parents did it and my family's doing it. It's not scriptural authority to say, but it's so wonderful and it does so much good. Well, in whose eyes? If God wanted us to do it, he would have made it very clear that they did both. But he doesn't make it clear. Now, some people want to run over to Jude and these love feasts. And somehow that's authority for Christians to eat together. But if you look closely at that verse, you can't prove that. There's nothing in that verse that talks about feasting together, meaning physical food. It could just as easily be the spiritual feast that we have. So here's the basic issue. For Christians to use the first day of the week assembly and meeting place to have a common meal. How can that be a good work? It's not in Acts. It's not in the epistles. It's not, Jesus never asked us to do it. Jesus never showed anywhere where that's what they did. When the church first started, they ate at home. In Acts 20 and 7, they came together as a church, but it wasn't for a common meal. It had to be the Lord's Supper. That's our authority for the Lord's Supper. That's our authority for taking the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. You can't bring a common meal into there. You bring a common meal into there, you've just taken away all your authority to take the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. Then we come to Acts 11, or 1 Corinthians 11, and Paul says you can't take the Lord's Supper if you don't eat at home. It's not possible to come together as a church and take the Lord's Supper if you're eating together. So he makes a total disassociation between it. So it sounds innocent. It sounds like a good idea. It's just not authorized. And therefore, we would be misappropriating the Lord's funds if we did it. All right, so I've kind of been saying the same thing over and over again, but let's just read this last statement here. If these passages authorize eating in the building, then where's our authority to take the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week? You have to choose one or the other. Would you rather have authority for the brethren to eat together, or would you rather have authority for the church to take the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week? Because that's our practice. Do we want to take away the authority for our practice? Do we want to take away the authority to take the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week by saying, no, that was a common meal? And if we say, no, it wasn't a common meal, then that takes away our authority for eating together. You have to pick. You have to pick one or the other. You either have authority to take the Lord's Supper, or you have authority for a common meal. You can't have both. Because the only passages that talk about it have to be the one or the other. So this is why, even though it's a minor issue, it is a wedge that is between us. And it's not something that we could compromise on. Maybe we don't like institutionalism. Maybe we think it's wrong for you to take money out of the treasury to take care of the needs of physical needs of people, unbelievers. I think we proved that last week. But maybe you really don't think there's a big deal with eating at a church building, making a kitchen in a church building, cooking in a church building. No big deal. Well, now you see it is a big deal. Because if you don't have authority for it, you can't do it. And if you try to find the authority for it, you have to take away the authority from the Lord's Supper to get it. And we don't want to do that. We can't do that. The Lord didn't give us the right to do that. So that's the lesson this evening. And again, I'm just trying to help us all to keep our minds clear. This is a problem. And I think as time goes on, we just seem to lose a little bit of our understanding of why is this such a big deal. And churches divided over this kind of stuff 30, 40 years ago. Now, those of us who are second generation or third generation, we didn't live through that, and we start looking at that, and we say, well, I don't see the big deal. Why can't a church have a kitchen? Well, why can't a church, why can't we eat together? Sounds like a wonderful idea. Well, there's one big problem. There's no authority. Now, individually, there's lots of good ideas, so we can do whatever we want. But congregationally, if we're going to be a church of Christ, we have to do what the Lord says to do. All right, so let's pick up our songbooks and we'll look at number 310. Once again, this lesson really wasn't designed to convict anyone. This lesson really, I didn't plan this lesson to rebuke anyone or make you feel like you need to come forward this evening. Wasn't for that purpose. Purpose was to help us understand a problem in the church that needs to be dealt with and needs to be understood. But if you're here this evening and anything I said this morning or anything in your heart this evening is troubling you, and you feel like you need to make your life right with God or you need to be baptized tonight, that's what this song is for. Why keep Jesus waiting? And why do we want to put off our eternal destiny? Because if we die tonight, whatever condition we're in tonight is how we'll meet the Lord. And if I were you and if I were me, I'd want to meet the Lord in the right condition. So if we can help you in any way, would you please come while we're together?